Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think we should stand and honor the children every Sunday when they head out. That would be amazing. Amen? Praise God. There's a few thoughts came through my head. Oh, you know, some people get really offended at the word tithe. It just means 10%. So if you get offended at 10%, go for 20 or go for 30, go for 40. And if you have an attitude that the tithe is not for today or your giving is not for today, the tithe wasn't Old Covenant. The tithe was pre the law. The tithe was before Old Covenant. So everyone says, oh, well, it's about Old Covenant and the Old Covenant's ending. No, actually, the giving was well before Old Covenant was established. So I don't want to go into big teaching, but I know people get so offended by it. But if you really want to stay with New Covenant teaching, then sell everything that you have and give to the poor. So go that way, and I'll celebrate you 100%, okay? Don't own nothing, sell it all. But, you know, people camp out on the most awkward things. And what it does is it creates a spirit of division and disunity. Can you imagine, and this is not what I was going to teach on, can you imagine if everyone stopped giving into their local church? What you're saying is we no longer want an established church. If everyone stopped giving, you would not have buildings, you would not have churches anywhere. And if you want to do home groups, it's fine. I celebrate it. We have life groups, absolutely. But what we're actually saying is everything that is established in the local church is really not relevant for today in New Covenant. And that would mean the gathering of the saints is not relevant. But that's not true. And so it's a whole process. I'm sure I'm going to get a million emails, so it's kevinstoddy@... I'm just kidding. But anyways, I just want to encourage you. You know, sometimes our social media gets so wrecked and messed up. If you don't want to give, that's fine. It's no problem, no pressure. But if God wants you to give, then you are in pressure. Oh, come on up. Come on up, Val. You betcha. We get a microphone here. Where's the mics? Okay. There's a reason of giving, and it's not to pay wages and everything else. There's benefits and blessings whenever we give.
I just want to say something about tithing, because when I first got saved, I got saved about 4.5 years before Earl did. And when I got taught about tithing, you know, I came home to him and said, we have to tithe. Of course, he wasn't saved. And he says, all those preachers want is money. I'm not giving those preachers any money because that's all they want is money. And so then my pastors at the time, Pastor Henry Smith was one of them. And he said, don't worry about Earl. Just tithe. If you have a family allowance, well, you tithe that and just leave Earl alone and you just pray for him. Well, then Earl wasn't saved yet, and he was in the garage. That's why I know tithing is for today, because Earl was working on a car in the garage, and he heard an audible voice that said, read Malachi, and I forget the scripture, but it's in Malachi, and it's about tithing. And he comes, and he heard an audible voice, a loud voice. And he came in, because he was being stubborn about the tithe. He came in to me and said, he wasn't saved. He says, what's Malachi? I said, well, that's a book in the Bible. Well, the Lord just gave me this scripture to read. And I said, well, we better read it. So we looked it up, and it was all about tithing. And so, needless to say, if God would speak to the unsaved husband who did not want to tithe, it is for today. And he's tithed ever since.
Yes. Hallelujah. God's amazing. Amen. There is a few thoughts I had during worship, so I want to share that. And if I get to my message, I will. But anyways, here's a few thoughts. The church has way too big of devils. Jesus makes the darkness tremble, we were singing about. Jesus makes the darkness tremble. Why does the darkness tremble? Because it lives in fear. Fear always trembles. So if we live in fear, we actually invite the fear of darkness into us. And when we live in fear, we will be trembling, I guarantee you, because when the light shines, darkness has to leave. It's not an option. One of the biggest devils in the church, literally during worship, I was processing this thought. One of the biggest devils in the church is your opinion of the church. Maybe not yours, because you're good people. Your opinions are all good. But what I'm saying is there are so many people that have their opinion of the church, but their opinion many times is not based on the goodness of God. It's based on the problems that they experience within a church. But the church is the bride of Jesus Christ, and I guarantee you, Christ sees it good. And we're on a process to walking towards spotlessness, a beautiful, perfect bride for Christ. We're not there yet. I'm close. I'm just kidding. We're not there yet. I'm learning and I'm growing, and we're all learning and growing as we go. But if we carry past problems into any situation of our lives, you'll live and deal with the problems the rest of your life. We're not called to bring the past issues and problems into our life. We're actually called to forgive and let them go, be restored back to Christ, the mind of Christ, which isn't focusing on the past problems. Christ is not up there focusing on his being beaten, on his being whipped, on why on earth did his disciples abandon him? Why did some of them forsake him? Why did some of them run away? Can you imagine Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father right now? Man, I can't believe. What was it, Peter? I mean, I even warned him in advance. What was he doing? You know, can you imagine that Peter? Like, he denied me 3 times. I even told him he was going to do it. He had all the right in the world to, you know. No, that's not Jesus sitting up there on the throne. He's sitting up there saying, where's my Peters? Where's my Pauls? Where's my disciples? Where's the ones that are going to grab my teachings? And they're going to run across this earth in the Spirit in such a power and such an authority that people will not deny my name. And we are not destined to grumble and complain with each other. We are not destined to create a disunity between one denomination and another denomination. If you have a feeling against a denomination and they believe in the fundamentals of the Scripture, then you have a problem. Well, happy Mother's Day. Sorry. I'm just kidding. I wasn't going to bring... Anyways, yeah, this is just... We got to speak truth. I mean, why? Because it's going to actually set us free. We sang about it. Truth sets us free. It liberates us. The only time it doesn't set you free is if you won't let up false for truth. Then it's going to hold you in bondage. But actually, truth doesn't hold you in bondage. Truth is trying to set you free. But your lack of understanding of truth will hold you in bondage. Again, one of the biggest devils I think we have in the church is disunity. What's disunity created? By selfishness, by my opinion's right and everyone else is wrong. Oh, Lord, come on, that's not where I was going. Okay, I got to minister here. Look at someone beside you and say, wow, you're beautiful. And if they're not, just tell them they are anyways. Because they are beautiful. God says we're all beautiful. I want to encourage us to get rid of negativity. Because if we don't get rid of negativity, then you will live a negative lifestyle. It's just the way it is. Oh, I have all the reason in the world to not be involved in church. Believe me, I have been hurt, burned, spit, spewed, chewed, cut, stabbed, everything else. And it's still happening sometimes out there. I have all the reason in the world to not be involved in church. But let me tell you, I have every reason in the world to be part of the church and be involved in it. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. My mom has passed away, and amazing woman of God, phenomenal she was 4 generations of ministry. And I just, when we're in worship, I just really felt her presence, and my father who's passed away as well. And I'll be honest with you, Amy, I saw your mom, and with my mom. And maybe you have a mom who's passed away. And if that's you, just stand up. If your mom's already passed away, just stand up. Because sometimes we don't understand why. We don't understand the purposes. Maybe they did die of old age. Maybe they died too early. Maybe whatever it is. But I will guarantee you, when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it does not matter how you breathe your last breath. What matters is, do you know Jesus? That's why I saw. It was powerful. Dancing in heaven. So, Father, we just pray for the mothers that have gone before us. They weren't perfect. Maybe some of the mothers here didn't even know Jesus. Then you and I have a responsibility to change that in our generations yet to come. That we have a responsibility that we know Jesus, and our sons and daughters will know them, and our grandchildren will know Jesus. So, Father, I just pray for the mothers, the monarchs that have gone before us, that have prepared a way. No matter how they breathe their last, No matter how their life looked, no matter what transpired, they were mothers. They were mothers, and they birthed children, which is a biblical principle in the glory of God. I just pray blessings upon them. We don't know if they're in the cloud of witnesses where they are, but Father, we know one thing. When we know you as Lord and Savior, we will spend eternity with you in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage some of you. Many people will wonder who made it to heaven and who didn't. And when we get to heaven, you'll probably look at some people and look at them and go, oh my goodness, I didn't think you were going to make it. And you might look around and say, my goodness, where is so-and-so? Believe that God has done a work even in your mamas and your papas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whew. Well, I shared that I was going to share a bit on the Spirit, Holy Spirit today. And really, really cool. I didn't realize that we're actually coming into the 50th year of Jubilee, or in it, and next Sunday's Pentecost, and the Lord was so clearly speaking and said, speak my Spirit so we can prepare for the transition of what's happening this week and next weekend. And I said, Lord, well, what's happening? And he said, wait and see. Wait and see. And so I believe in my heart, and I'm going to be in Mexico next Sunday, and I leave early tomorrow morning, and we're going to be doing crusades. We have Fresh Fire going down. It's about 29 in the team. It's going to be powerful and amazing, but we're going to see some great things in Canada. I believe it, and we have to stand on that hope. If we lose hope, then we have to decipher where our faith left. If you ever lose hope, I'll guarantee you, you've lost faith. Faith always creates hope, and hope always creates faith. They coexist together, and you can't have one with the other, without the other. Right after the baptism of Jesus, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. The passion of our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus is to have people of his very own who are entirely and utterly filled with his presence. That's the passion that Jesus Christ has as he sent the promise of his Father, that he's looking for a people that are so passionately and utterly filled to overflowing of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit's presence. God wants to saturate us. He doesn't just want it to pour upon us. He actually wants us saturated. How many of you know what a sponge looks like and a saturated sponge? You can have a sponge that can wipe up things, but a saturated sponge doesn't wipe anything up. It literally just floods everything. But you see, a sponge will run itself dry because it can only hold the amount of water that is in the sponge unless you're constantly pouring water. The Holy Spirit is beyond a sponge, because he's constantly pouring his water, his presence, his glory on us. And so we're not just to cover up little boo-boos. We're actually to saturate it in such a way it drowns every problem around us. We have flooding going on because the snow melt is so fast right now. And I'll tell you, floods aren't gentle. They actually change things, radically shift things. We need a flood of the Holy Spirit in us that we become so saturated that everywhere we go, we become like a torrent of shift and change. It can be graceful, it can be relaxing, it can be comforting, and it can be on fire. We know that in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, everyone thought they were drunk. So they must have looked like a drunk. Think of that. Maybe you've seen a drunk, maybe you've been drunk. Well, imagine if we were all in the Holy Spirit right now, moving out of here like a drunk. Every cop would be lined up. Breathe here. Happy to breathe. And you'd probably blow his recorder right off the wall, because the Spirit's breath will be, pew! It's like our Christmas trees with a little angel on top. I always say that is absolutely ridiculous. You have a Christmas tree with an angel on top. There's no more twigs on the tree. The leaves are gone. The branches are on fire and burning. But he came like a dove. Yeah, but how big was the dove? Well, he was only this big, really. He came like a dove, and onto Jesus when he came up out of the water of baptism. I love, you know, Papa Bill Johnson, and he, I probably will butcher what he says, but it's something along the lines of, the Holy Spirit came on Jesus like a dove, so walk so you don't scare the dove off. Walk in such a way that you don't scare the dove off, that you don't do things that literally make the dove fly away. But I just feel to ask you, well, how big's the dove? Well, if the dove is this big, okay. But what if the dove's wingspan stretches across Canada and then it comes and lands on you? It's all perspective. It's all perspective on how do we see God and how do we see his Spirit. God did not design us to be perfect, but he designed us to be perfected through him. And so don't hold someone accountable for not being perfect, because it's hard to hold someone accountable for not being perfect or making mistakes when you yourself aren't perfect and making mistakes. It just becomes a me, me, me generation, and we're not called to be me, me, me. We're called to be him, him, him. Big H. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, what does wine do on average? Well, it kind of settles you down, calms you probably, but the reality is it makes you happy. Happy, happy, happy. So do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with his Spirit. So if you're not happy, find out where the dove left you. Find out where the Holy Spirit is no longer hanging on to you and hanging with you, or you're not hanging on to him. I mean, if I feel like I'm doing something that the Holy Spirit's going to leave me on, I'm going to grab his feet and ankles or whatever they're called, and I'm going to hang on and fly with him. I don't want to let him go. I never want to let him go. You say, oh, well, that's just crazy, Brent. No, I'm crazy. Let's just face the fact. But I'm not insane, because insanity, what does it mean? It means doing the same thing and expecting a different result. I am not going to do the same thing and expect a different result. I'm going to do something new and fresh and different and expect a different result from God. The word filled here, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to continuously and constantly be filled to overflowing. Not just filled up, overflowing in his presence. We know the book of Acts reveals this truth in the disciples, that they were constantly being filled. How many of you would like to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit? Maybe some of you don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. Well, let me tell you, when you do, you know. Because sometimes you might do something that you're not used to doing. Sometimes you feel a presence that you're not used to feeling. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, I tell you what, something happens. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and what happened? Jesus was born. Why don't the Holy Spirit come on us and let our lives be like Jesus, walking this earth? The Father delights to fill in us to overflowing. Again, not half full, not three quarters, but overflowing. If we don't overflow with the Spirit around of God on us, then what atmosphere are we going to change? Let's say we're three quarters full. Good, that's better than empty. But right now, you don't have to pay $1.60 a liter for this flow. It was paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. It was paid for on the resurrected Christ. It just costs us a little bit of something. It might mean change a lifestyle, but what it is it'll cost you unbelief. We have to believe. If we don't believe, we're missing it. We have to believe. God designed us to be leaky. Leaky. To leak all over the place. When you walk into the mall, or you walk in, I was thinking, you know, when Kevin was announcing that outreach is at McDonald's, I'm thinking, yeah, we pray for the sick when they leave McDonald's. Sorry. I like McDonald's. Once in a while, a Big Mac, I don't know if it likes me, but that's besides the point. Should I explain? No, I'm just kidding. If we don't become so filled and overflowing, then what atmosphere do we change around us? Oh God, I'm praying for my son. Oh God, I'm praying for my daughter. Oh God, I'm praying for my friends. Oh God, I'm praying for the glory to invade Windward. I'm praying, oh God. Why don't we be filled with his glory to such a level that his glory actually invades this place and invades this house? Let your glory, of God's glory through you, Holy Spirit through you, invade me. I'm hungry. I'm looking for it. Let I'll invade you, and you can invade me, and we can invade each other in the presence of God. Can you imagine the rivers of diversity in the strength of unity that would be created? Wow. It'd be amazing. There's one new wine, we call it, of the Holy Spirit. But every vessel's a different wineskin. And so because of the different wineskin, it creates a slightly different flavor of the same wine. For the diversity of God, not the separation, but the diversity of Him in His presence in us for strength in His church. He desires that every place we go, we leave a deposit of His glory. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Why not? Well, I just don't know. Well, actually, it's your not knowing that's making you not leave a deposit of His presence. Well, but I want to know. Okay, then no. What does no mean? Well, N-O, English language. N-O is no, you can't do it, but K-N-O-W is gnosko. And that's applying your understanding and watching it work and function in your life. It's what we're called into. How many of you know that the power of the Holy Spirit is more powerful than you and me? Put your hand up. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit wants to invade us in such a level that it radically shifts and changes our lives? How many of you know that Jesus Christ sent the promise of His Father when the time was right in His life to send Him to us for a purpose and a reason? Put your hand up. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. John 7, verse 37 to 39. John chapter 7, starting in verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38. "He who believes in me." So first of all, this is 37. It says, in the last days of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Listen, it's a very important point. Let him come to me. Let him come to Jesus and drink. Verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." When the in the life of Jesus, if you were thirsty, you came to him to drink. Why? Because he carried the Holy Spirit. When he came up out of the water, he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and Father God spoke and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." So for 3.5 years, Jesus walked with the Holy Spirit residing on him. And what does Jesus say? "If you're thirsty, come to me." But right after that, Jesus is implying and speaking and saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door for you to receive the promise. When the new covenant was established, the promise of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was not yet ready to send the Holy Spirit. That's what it says right here. Verse 39 again. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." You see, if the Holy Spirit had been given to us when Jesus was not yet glorified, what does it mean, not yet glorified? He was not in his rightful place yet. He had been, he ascended from the dead. He rose again 3 days, went into Hades. He took back the keys of authority that were given to the devil through Adam and Eve. He took those back, and then he walked amongst the earth. But he said, "You cannot receive, I cannot send this Holy Spirit to you yet. I can't send it to you yet because I'm actually not in my rightful place yet. I have got to be in heaven, seated at the right hand of my Father. I have got to be glorified, and then I can send you the Holy Spirit." Why? Because if I send it to you while I'm walking on this earth, the new covenant hasn't been fully established yet, and so the Holy Spirit has to dwell under the old covenant law. But because I'm not yet glorified, when I get glorified in my Father, as soon as I ascend into the heavens, then I can send the Holy Spirit to you, because then the new covenant has been established, and the Holy Spirit is here to establish you in the new covenant and not in the old. And so if you think about it, now Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's now declared the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the most authoritative figure in heaven beside his Father God. And he has the authority and the power over things that nobody else has, and that's over this earth, because he took back the kingdom. He took back the keys from the enemy. And so he says, now I am glorified. I can send you the Holy Spirit, the promise of my Father. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the promise of my Father, now you can do the works I did. Because when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I did these works on this earth. Now you carry Jesus. Jesus is the door. Holy Spirit empowers you to be like him. The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit has been given to convict the world of sin and righteousness for judgment to come. In John chapter 10, verse 5 to 15, do I read it all? No. Yes. Okay, verse 5, John chapter 16, verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The helper can't come to you because I haven't gone away yet. The helper can't come to you because I have to go to my rightly spot. I have to go and create the whole perspective of the new covenant. And when I go, then the helper can come to you. Verse 8. And when he has come, the helper, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin because they do not believe in me. So in other words, believe in Jesus and you eradicate sin. That's what it's saying. Let's read it again. Of sin, verse 9. Of sin because they do not believe in me. If you believe in Jesus, you eradicate sin. That has to be our goal. It has to be our purpose. You don't receive Jesus to get you your name written in the book of life. You receive Jesus to eradicate sin. You're all looking at me like, okay, Brent, where are we going? Well, no, I received Jesus to get my name written in the book of life and the promise of eternal life. But the whole perspective is like saying, well, I married my wife only so I could say I was married. What? I married my wife 29 years ago, almost 30 years ago. This October will be 30 years ago. I married her because I was in love with her and I made a covenant with her to love her until death do us part. And out of that beautiful love, we came three beautiful kids that are all fired up for God. Because when we fall in love with God, we fall in love with Jesus, kids are birthed. Things happen. There's birthing processes. You can say, is that physical or spiritual? Take it the way you would like. First, you're the first kid to be birthed. Out of that, we birth children, spiritually speaking, and physically if it's marriage. Of sin because they do not believe in me. So believe in Jesus and you eradicate sin. In other words, if you have a problem with sin in your life, believe more in Jesus. Yeah, but the sin keeps coming. Find Jesus and believe more in him until the sin is eradicated. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Because you cannot have righteousness except going straight to the Father. Not, ma'am. You can't have righteousness by coming to me. You can't have righteousness by even coming into the church. You can't have righteousness by being a good person. You can't have righteousness by doing what you think is right. You can't have righteousness by being who you want to be. You can't have righteousness by anything other than going to the Father, directly to him. The problem is so many times we've gone to men or women, and especially leaders in a church, and they've messed up or they've bummed you out a little bit, and that's why people feel so rejected sometimes by leadership, and so they speak so poorly about church. The problem is they were wrong for going to the man for righteousness. Don't come to me for righteousness. I'm having enough time doing righteousness in my own life. Forget doing yours. Righteousness is doing right doing. That's what it means. Righteousness, right doing, doing right things. So don't go to man to do right things or woman. Go to God. He's the one who's going to be able to help you through it. That's the only one I can go to, is to get righteousness and get closer into righteousness is my Father God. Verse 11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Once you're saved, you're not judged for your sins. You go ahead and you get saved in Jesus and you make a boo-boo and a mistake. You don't carry that judgment. If Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ in us, We are forgiven of sin. We believe that scripture because it is scripture. You are forgiven. You are forgiven, and where do your sins go? They actually go into the sea of no remembrance. What does no remembrance mean? No remembrance. The sea of no remembrance. What is that? No remembrance. So if you have no remembrance of your name right now, you will never remember your name. You have to have remembrance again to remember your name. Now, as we get older, sometimes we have more no remembrance than we did before. But your sin right now, every past sin, is in the sea of no remembrance. The only way it can be resurrected again is your memory or someone else's memory around you. I've got to tell us, people, why are we remembering everyone's past sins? The only reason you'd remember your past sin is for the victory of testimony. You're no longer living that anymore. And that becomes powerful. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Disciples, I have many more things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. What does it mean? It means there's a continued revelation. I have more to speak, says the Lord. You can't bear it now. What do you need to help bear the new revelation? The promise of my Father is on his way. So what does the Holy Spirit do? It opens us up to bear new revelation of the Word. The Holy Spirit opens us up. It's not just a goofy giggle, fall down club. That's not it. You can goof, you can giggle, you can do whatever in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's totally fine. But the presence of the Holy Spirit helps us bring revelation into our lives of the Word. And what does revelation bring? It brings strength. And what does strength bring? It brings mighty warriors of victory instead of men and women of defeat. He's not calling us defeated. The devil might call you defeated, but God's not calling you defeated. God's calling you a victor. God's calling you a son, a daughter. He's not calling you defeated. He's not calling you an orphan. He's not calling you that. He's calling you a son, and he's calling you a daughter. And that's our destiny and purpose when we walk along this earth. So many mothers have been praying and interceding for their sons and their daughters. I will guarantee you, God hears mama's prayers. Maybe even more than men's prayers. I don't know. I used to pray things, but my wife, when she prayed, it happened. Yeah. Verse 13. However, let's read verse 12 again. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I have much more to tell you, but you will not grasp them. You will not understand them. What I tell you might actually kill you. Verse 13. However, when he, who's he? The Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, you know why you feel convicted in sin? Because the Spirit of truth is knocking on your door saying, dude, wake up, smell the roses, buddy. What's that little conscience? You know, after you did a sin, and most people, when they do sin, they usually do it out of an expression of something that's happened in their life. And I'm not talking a sinner. A sinner might just not know better, but even them, most sinners know better, but they still choose the wrong way. But usually it comes with a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. There's a counterfeit going on of the Holy Spirit, which creates us and drives us and moves us towards sin. So the counterfeit, get rid of and bring the real in, because the Holy Spirit moves us away from sin and doesn't bring us into sin. However, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into a little bit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will take of what is mine, says the Lord, and will declare it to you. What is mine, says the Lord, is power, is authority, is a perfect lifestyle of sinless living. He will take what is mine. I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father, says the Lord. I have the authority over the heavens and the earth. And that Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, he will take what is mine. What gives Jesus pleasure? To take what is yours? No, that you and I take what is his. Ah, that's how heaven works. Here on earth, that's mine. Where's my water bottle? I don't even know where my water bottle is. Oh, that's yours. Oh, there's my water bottle. This is mine. This is mine. No one drinks of my water. You're gonna protect your plate. You're gonna say, hey, well, get away. That's my food. I barbecued that steak for me. And that's a typical man expression, but it's not super typical of a good mother. Which is why the Holy Spirit is so often referred to as like a mother. And mothers are referred to as like the Holy Spirit. Oh, here, son, you can have mine. Oh, I love my wife because she just gives me half her food all the time. Fattens me up, but here, son, you can have my. Here, daughter, you can have mine. Oh, there's not enough here. That's okay. How many mothers will eat a small little portion, not because they're just trying to lose weight, but because they didn't prepare enough food or there's not enough food prepared? But true mothers don't squawk about it. They don't make a big deal or issue, because true mothers just love towards their children. Verse 14 again, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is declaring it to you. Everything that Jesus owns, everything that he has, everything of the Father's, he is declaring it to you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. See, he's just speaking. He's speaking truth. Why? To set us free and realize that we have all things of the kingdom of God, all things of the kingdom of heaven is available to us through this one called the Holy Spirit. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit has come to give gifts to the believer. Mothers come, they give gifts to their children. Fathers, sometimes it's a little harder for us men. Sometimes we can be offended by how loving and generous mamas are. I have been. What do you mean you just gave that away to so-and-so? Are you serious? You know what that cost me? Kind of bought that for me. Yeah, but Brent, you gave it to me. Well, yeah, but I gave it in your name, but it was really mine. What do you mean you're giving that much to the church? Are you serious? Like we need a lot of things, you know? I mean, this is early in our marriage. I got to such a point where I couldn't ask my wife what she was giving in the offering because it depressed me so much. But then we went to the mission field and I saw so much that she had given without my choice, without my desire, but she gave. Sometimes secretly I found out. She gave. But when we got to the mission field, I saw things coming back. And I started thanking her for giving. And now we have a plan. We have a strategy in giving. What are you feeling, Sharon? I don't know. What are you feeling? Well, Sharon, what are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling this. Well, I'm feeling this. And we take the higher number every time, and we go for it. Tell you, God is good. Are the kids ready? They can come on in. Absolutely. We're going to come right up to the front here. We're going to sit down up front, okay? Because we're going to do something real special today. Because you guys are amazing. We're going to watch a movie first, so you can sit down. If you want to sit on the floor or wherever you want to sit, you're going to be able to watch this, okay? I just have about another 45 minutes of preaching, so just hold steady. If we could summarize the work of the Holy Spirit into one statement, it would be this. The Holy Spirit has come, has been given to each of us to make us like Jesus. That's it. If your life, if my life's not looking like Jesus, find out where Holy Spirit is in your life. He's calling us to look like Jesus. It's what we're called into. There's more coming, isn't there? This is just one class, right? Okay. Oh, here they come. Awesome. We're going to get ready to do a movie in just a minute, okay? Or a video, I should say. Come on in, guys. Woo! Just sit anywhere up here. Awesome. So, these ones right here, they want to make sure that you and I are listening and learning what's being taught. So we can show a demonstration of what we've been talking about. We can be the demonstration of the Holy Spirit for these ones. Because if we're not the demonstration of the Spirit of God, I will guarantee you they will find a demonstration in the world. Because they are looking, every child looks for advancement. They look for better things. They look for greater things. Every child believes they will be great. You and I, our destiny as mamas and papas and grandmas and grandpas for our kids is to live a life of destiny in such a way that they will see that lifestyle and they'll say, I want to be like my mama and dada. Why? Because they're going to see Jesus in us. It is so important. And if you haven't done that, then start. It's never too late. Is this everybody? Okay, so we're going to watch a little video, okay, guys? We're going to watch a video right up there, okay? So, okay, let's play it.
My mom makes me get big and strong.
She goes on roller coasters even though she doesn't even want to go on them.
She just does funny stuff and occasionally tickles us.
She gives me this one note that I keep in my backpack. Dear Katie, I love you every day so, so much.
I can tell my mom anything.
My mom's the best because she gives me bubble gum and she doesn't let my brother have it.
I liked it when she takes me to Chuck E. Cheese.
She does the best scary stories. Boom!
She always says, stay calm, you can do it.
And when we have special dates, it makes it special days.
And mommy is a beautiful princess.
I can thank my mom for being my mom.
Thanks for letting me lick the spoon.
For teaching me knock-knock jokes.
For always helping me look on the bright side.
For making me feel special.
For helping me clean up my mess.
For rubbing my back before I go to sleep.
Thank you, Mom. I give my mom big smooches.
Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
We see the mommies.
So you know what I'm going to ask you guys to help us with? See all these beautiful flowers behind you? We're going to get all the mothers to stand, okay? If you're a mother in this house, even if your kids aren't here, but you've birthed a child, stand up, please. No men, just women right now, okay? This is their special day. Okay, so do you see all these ladies standing? Can one of each of you grab one flower without spilling them all over, one flower, and then go give every lady that's standing one flower, okay? Go! And say, you're an amazing mama. Even if it's not your mother, it doesn't have to be your mother. But you can go to one of the ladies that are standing and go give them a flower, okay? And once you get a flower, you can sit. Okay, we can grab more flowers. Lots of ladies here today. Lots of mamas in the house. Here we go, I'll hand you some, okay? You can take that and then just run and go get everybody a flower that's standing. David Spring, you need to sit down in the back, okay? Back there. Right. Don't confuse them. Just kidding. Here's some more. Awesome. Here's a lady over here. And no, I'm not standing. I know my hair is long, but don't give me a flower. Okay, here's some more. There you go. There you go. Awesome. Still some ladies. There's a lady in the back there standing. Oh, no, that's a young girl standing. I'm sorry. She's not quite having babies yet, right? Okay. Okay, awesome. Okay, now all the kids come up front again, okay? And what I'd like you to do, if your mom is here or your guardian mother is here, can you grab a flower and take it to her personally, okay? Every one of you can grab a flower and take it to your mom. Now, I'm going to ask one more thing. If you are a son or a daughter here and your mother is here, no matter what age you are, will you come up and take your mother a flower? Amen. We have just a few flowers left. It's so awesome. Mothers, could you stand? Mic. We're going to pray for mothers. I'm going to ask you kids first, okay? If you want to say something real fast to your mom, it could be, love you, Mom. We love you, Mom, whatever. And you want to say it in a microphone? You get an opportunity, okay? I'm going to hold the microphone, but you're going to say it, okay? So you say whatever you want to say that's really nice to your mama, okay? To your mommy, okay? You say.
I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Mom, you're the best mom I ever know.
You had your hand up, right?
Happy Mother's Day?
Yeah, awesome.
I love mommy, I love her so much.
Anyone else? Happy Mother's Day. This is your chance to preach, people. This is your chance. You don't get the mic. You want to say something to your mommy?
Happy birthday, mommy.
Yeah. You You want to say something to your mommy?
I do.
Okay.
Mom, I love you.
Happy Mother's Day. You're the best mom ever.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom, forever. I love you.
Awesome. Oh, you want to say some more? Okay, we got the preacher.
You're the best mom.
Two preachers.
You are a really good mom, and I love you forever.
You're the number one mom in the whole entire world that I know.
Thank you for giving me everything that I have.
It's awesome. It's good.
I love you, and I hug you.
I love you, Auntie, and you're the best one.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay.
I love you, Mom. You're the best.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you, Mom. I love you so much.
Yeah, a lot of people say they're the best mom, but they don't really know who my mom is. She's the real best. Taught me everything I know. Love you, Mom.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for mothers. They are called with such purpose and destiny, and they can do things us men just can't. And we thank you for them, Father. We pray on the celebration of Mother's Day, Lord, that every mom will have a touch of your presence and your glory in them. And I pray, Father, for maybe moms that haven't had babies yet, maybe marriages that haven't been able to have babies, I pray, Father, for the revelation of your Spirit to come in such a way to know, Father, that every one of us is loved by you, and every woman is created on this earth for a destiny and a purpose so unique that we can't compare ourselves to each other, but we look to you, Father, to find our strength, to find our way, to find our place. And I thank you, Father, that every mother that is in this house, all these young girls that maybe aren't even married yet, Lord God, we pray, Father, that there would be a blessed young man that will invade their life with God so full of him. He is so full of God that it will be a godly, amazing union. And we thank you, Father. There's one more, though. There's a pregnant mom. That's right. She's got a flower. I just wanted to make sure. Awesome. And we thank you for the babies that are yet unborn, that have been spoken to destiny. We know, Lord God, you've called them for a purpose, and they need mamas and papas to raise them. And I pray, Lord God, that we as men will celebrate the women as what they are called into their destiny, Father. That we are not here to overpower them. We are here to co-labor together and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And I pray, Lord God, that we will raise up children that will go into all the world and preach the gospel. I pray that we as mothers and fathers, no matter what age we are, will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I thank you for this day of celebration. I thank you for my mother, my grandmother, great-grandmother, and great-great-grandmother that were all ministers of the gospel. I thank you for their lives that we're able to carry from generation to generation of the gospel that they preached. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Go give your mom a big hug. Smother her with kisses, like smooch on her cheeks. Be blessed and have an amazing, amazing Sunday.